morning, everyone. I'm Matt Blair, lead pastor here at Solace Church, and it's so good to have you today. I know the weather is crazy outside, so thank you for choosing to brave the weather weather conditions to come in. We're in the middle of a series called Healthy Homes, and if you haven't been here in this series, we are taking a walk through our homes into specific rooms in our homes, and we're learning a dynamic or a principle or a lesson about each of the rooms in the home, and then we're applying that to our marriage or our family. And so we've gone through this journey now the past few weeks, and today we're going to take a look at another one of the rooms in the home. And so let's see, we've gone through the living room and the kitchen, the closet, the master bedroom. If you have not had a chance to hear all of those messages, then you can always go online to solacechurch.com. You can click the media tab, and then you can click on the tab that says watch live or our archive services, and you can catch up on all of those or any of those if you have missed them. Also, I would encourage you, here's reality. All of us have work to do on our marriage relationships and in our homes. All of us can improve in some areas. And so if you missed a week, it'd be good to watch every week if you haven't seen every week. But also on top of that, the truth is that, you know, in the world we live in today, we're connected to so many different people. If you heard a message or a talk that I gave and you know of a couple or a family that's struggling, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you just to send that link to them and to just let them know that that's available. And if they choose to watch it, maybe God would do a work in their family and their marriage as well. So we love that that's available, and we'd encourage you to use that at solacechurch.com. So here we are in our next room. And this room is called the study. Now, here's what I know about the study. That's an old word. As a matter of fact, I want to clarify something from the very beginning as we kind of just dive into this room this morning and learn maybe what God would want us to learn from this room. But this term study is kind of an older word, and there's a new word that's kind of replaced it. And I think actually this newer word speaks to the very problem that exists in our marriage relationships. And so I think it's interesting the way this room has shifted and the way it really speaks to maybe a dysfunctional area in our marriage relationships. So this room, you know, in most homes is probably called like the home office or the office. And the reason why it's called home office or office is because this is a room primarily used for production, getting something done. So you'll go into this room. Some of you, man, isn't it incredible? We live in an environment where you can work from home in your home office. So the home office is used for sending emails or making phone calls, or maybe some of you are in the sales world or in the data entry world. Maybe your whole world revolves around, man, just working out of your house. So the home office is a production center, producing something from that room. Think about what it used to be called, a study. The study implies, for instance, reading a book or meditating on an idea or a concept. Studying applies, you know, like contemplating a solution to a problem that you're facing. Study would imply like researching a topic or an idea you haven't had time to research or study before. You see the difference. There is the production room or the study room. I think one of the reasons why we have chosen maybe as a society to primarily call this room the home office is because we're busy, so busy doing and producing that who has time to study? And I think this speaks to the issue in some marriages. I know it's been an issue in my marriage in the past 13 years. It's an issue, I think, in a lot of marriage relationships that many couples are so busy doing that they miss the being side of life, that they're so busy accomplishing all that the family needs to accomplish that they don't have any margin or time to really sit and just be and work on themselves individually. And so this morning, I don't want to create another to-do list for you to do. We've talked about a lot of things we need to be doing. I want to talk about the being side of things. If you're writing things down, I'm going to use the word study. If you're writing things down, I want you to write this down. The study is about personal growth. The study is about personal growth. And here's something else that I'd like for you to write down, because in my observation as a pastor, and this is not somewhere in Scripture that I can point to as a verse, this is an observation I've made in being in ministry and listening literally to hundreds of couples in my office talk about the dysfunctions in their marriage relationship. It's also an observation I've made about my own life and my own marriage. If you're writing things down, write this down. As I become personally healthy, my marriage tends to become more healthy as well. Now, that's like duh, and it's like common sense, but it's worth saying. If I go on a journey to personally grow, then as a result, my marriage, my family will be enriched because of it. All right, so I want to talk to you this morning about personal growth, because it's really interesting. As I've watched marriage relationships unfold, and I've listened to a lot of conversations, one thing seems to be evident. At some point, one or both of a couple in a relationship tend to stagnate personally at some point in their journey. They tend to kind of get stuck in a season or a decade, and they act that way and carry out life that way. And sometimes they fail to continue progress in maturity and growth. I've also observed that sometimes there's the wife, and she, for whatever reason, hits this season where she's like, it's time for me to grow. It's time for me to take some steps towards some personal development. And so she'll come up with this list of ways she's going to do that. It might be a workout routine, or it might be a series of books she's going to read, or she might be devoted to a devotional that she's going to go through. And she'll say to her husband, man, I am so excited about this. God's got this thing for me, and I'm going to go on this journey of growth. Would you want to go with me? You're like, honey, I really appreciate what God's really doing in your life. That's cool and all. I'm not there yet. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go on that journey with you. Some guys, quite honestly, are just resistant when their wife like gets in the spurt of wanting to grow. I've also seen, by the way, some husbands say the same thing about their wife. They'll say, you know what, listen, God spoke to me at church. It was that message or that podcast or that thing on the radio that I heard. Or, man, it was just in my office, and I felt like God was like, it's time to grow. And so you're like committed to growth, and you go home, and you're like, honey, you can't believe this. I'm ready to do this. So I got 6 books I'm going to read, and I've got these, I'm dedicated to getting up an hour earlier. And so it's just amazing what God's going to do. And your wife is like, oh my gosh, I mean, I appreciate that, but I'm just not there. And not to be over stereotypical here, but sometimes, quite honestly, you know, if you got small kids at the house or kids at the house at any age, it's just overwhelming to think I'm going to create margin in my day or my life to, you know, like have time to do these kinds of things. And so it's interesting to watch how couples progress along the way. Some of you are in that environment right now. You just had the conversation with your spouse. You're like, hey, this is what God's going to do. Or this is what I believe God's going to do. And your wife was not nearly as interested as you were, or your husband was not nearly as interested. Okay, so let's take that down another level, because one of the things I love to do at Solace Church is just to be brutally honest, because I don't know another way to do it. Like, let's just really gut level conversation. If I were just like be brutally honest with you, I would say to you this morning that there are some people in the room, say you're like 30, 35 years old, and quite honestly, you got stuck about 19, 20, or 21 years old, and you stopped growing. Do you know how I know those people exist? Because when I was in high school, they used to hang out at my high school or John's Berry Hill Food Mart in Berry Hill. Like, they would hang out after school and be like, what are you doing? Right. You graduated a decade ago. Probably time for you to move on, like get a career. The high school girls aren't available for you anymore. Time to move on, my friend. And you know what I'm talking about, because you know some of those people. They just fail to launch. You're like, come on, man. Get with it. You know, you're a decade behind. Truth of the matter is, there's some 40 or 45-year-olds who are still acting like they're, you know, like in college age or just past that. They're still doing the exact same thing they did back then, same patterns of behavior, same mistakes over and over and over again, and they never move on. They never grow up. And I've watched this plague so many marriage relationships and so many homes. People choose to get stuck in a decade or stuck at an age, and it creates so much dysfunction in the family. I'll explain to you what that looks like practically in just a little bit. So this morning, I want to kind of dive into that, because there are some scenarios just like that in the room. And maybe you're watching online and you're in that same situation. You're listening to this and you're like, that's our home. So you're in this situation. What do we do about this? Well, here's what I want you to know. If you're the individual, and I already know this is happening, some of you, you're the wife in the room, and you're like, thank God Matt is preaching on that message. I've been wanting my husband to take some steps for like years now, and finally he's, and maybe even like elbowed, like, are you listening? You awake? And there's some husbands in the room like, dear God, thank you, Matt, for preaching this. I've been harping on my wife to grow, and she not doing it. Well, congratulations. You get to hear from the pastor this morning, all right? If you're that individual, and look, it's called coming to terms with reality. If you're that individual and you've felt stuck and you're not really motivated to go forward in growth, hear me. I want you to know how God's perspective on your commitment to move forward. Those who choose to personally grow in their life, who are committed to maturity and growth and personal development, what I've seen God do in those individuals' lives is I've seen God open up new opportunities for them to be more influential and have a greater level of impact because they've been willing to do the work necessary to position themselves to have that opportunity. I've seen God increase their level of influence. I've seen their families enriched because of it, as I said just a minute ago. I've watched God do incredible things when someone just takes the initiative to start moving forward in personal development. And so I would say to you today that there is a best version of you and there's a current version of you, and God's really interested in the best version of you and the current version of you. He longs to help you move forward in that relationship. So don't be resistant today. As I talk about some of these practical things, don't be resistant. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't be prideful. Let's lay that stuff aside so that God can do the work he needs to do in us. All right, so with that said, there's a couple of passages of scripture that really, really, in my opinion, highlight this dynamic that we're talking about. Need to grow because of the great benefits versus not growing because of some resistance. If you have your Bibles or looking on your phones or whatever you use, look with me at 2 Timothy and also the book of Hebrews. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then Hebrews chapter 5. Let me just read them to you. Now, I'm going to set the stage before I show you the text this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, because it's really interesting what takes place. Paul, who writes 2 Timothy chapter 2, is writing to a pastor, Timothy. He's in Ephesus. He's pastoring a church. And Paul gives Timothy this letter at the end of Paul's life. Now, we know that that's the case because Paul says in the letter in chapter 4 that the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knows he's close to dying. And he says that phrase that a lot of people have heard in church before, that I fought the good fight, I kept the faith, therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but for everyone who longs for his appearing or his coming. Right? Wonderful, wonderful, like end of the journey verse to kind of celebrate Paul's life. Well, before he gets there, Paul gives a verse, a vision verse, a life verse for Timothy. Now, he gives several of those along the way to Timothy, but I think this is a life verse, one you've probably heard before as well. The King James Version says it a little different. I'll quote that as well, but notice what the NIV Version says. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things Paul says to Timothy. Paul says, Timothy, there are going to be seasons and moments in your journey where your character, where your personal development is going to be put to the test. God is going to bring in your path some moments where you're going to be tested with what you've done with what God's entrusted to you. And in those moments, you want to find yourself as one approved. That is, when God sees you in those environments, there's an approval of the way in which you handle that. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. In other words, when the moment comes and the conflict or the opportunity presents itself, you're ready to handle it, and you don't have to look at that in failure and say, God, I wish I would have been ready. That there's no shame when you've done your best to present yourself to God because there's approval and not shame. What a great picture. I would say this is a great life verse, whether you're a pastor or whether you're not a pastor. What a great verse of scripture. God, I want to be in a place in my personal life so that when the challenge comes or the opportunity comes, I'm ready to engage and you can see me as one approved. What a great verse. And who correctly handles the word of God. That is, who can handle this precious gift God has given us called the Bible. What a great, 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 great verse. All right, so this is one picture. This is a life verse. Hang your hat on this verse, memorize this verse, become this person, you will not regret it. Now let's compare it. Before I show you the verse in Hebrews, I preached an entire series on Hebrews last year. If you want to listen to the entire series, you know, over the snow break, which I know most of you will probably do, great, great series to listen to, an exegetical study in the book of Hebrews called Greater. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, the author of Hebrews wants to take the listener or the reader on a journey of spiritual maturity. He wants to give them more information, teach them more about the person and work of Christ. But he can't. Notice what he says. Verse number 12. In fact, now he wants to do more. In fact, now underline this or put a star by this or highlight this somehow if you can. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. There could not be two more different verses in Scripture to speak to the condition of the heart of an individual, right? Do your best to present yourself as one who's not ashamed, who correctly handles, one approved by God. That is incredible. What a great life verse. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Seriously? Like, by now we should be past this point, but I have to go back to square one. You see the difference in the picture of one who is living out incredible kingdom purpose, who's enriched in the way that he lives, and one who is lagging behind. This phrase, though by this time, was an interesting phrase as I studied this text. Though by this time, it made me think about what's going on in my life right now as a father. We have Georgia, who is 9, almost 10 months old. She's getting teeth now. She's starting to crawl. She's trying to start walking at 10 months. Grady walked at 14 months. Graham walked about 10 months. It's really interesting to watch our kids kind of grow up in these formative years. And I thought about this phrase, though by this time, and I was reminded that right now, this is a front and center phrase for us. Because when we take, for instance, Georgia to the doctor right now, she just went for a 9-month checkup. We go to Dr. Sue, that's who we use, a wonderful, wonderful doctor. We love him so much. He's taking care of all three of our kids. We'll go into the room, and they give us a couple of pages. On one of the pages, on the front, it does all the percentiles. Isn't that fun? I mean, you remember the percentiles when you were growing up. This is so much fun to us. We get to see how our kids measure up to the rest of the world. Right, and so Grady was off the charts high, off the charts on his head. I mean, tall, off the charts on his weight. He was a really, really big kid. Graham was off the charts on the low. He was like 25th percentile, very, very small in every respect, weight, head, height, all that stuff. George is middle of the road. We're like, thank God. I mean, middle of the road's good for women. Average height is great. That's good. Head height, our head circumference, great. You know, all that good stuff. So we get to compare our kid. And then on the next page, and I think the phrase even says this, by this time, then they give us a list of all the things Georgia should be doing at 9 months of age. And so as a parent, you look at all those things, you're like, okay, good, good. No, she's ahead there, that's great. Oh, ooh, behind there, ooh. It's incredible to read that. And so it gives you an indication of where the child should be. This happens actually with our kids as well. Grady's 6, Graham's 4, they're in school now. Grady's in kindergarten, Graham's in pre-K. And we meet with the teachers. Teachers conference. We sit down with them. They give us some of the work that Grady and Graham have done, and they go over it with us, and then they have a chart, and it just goes like this. You know, by this time, your kid ought to be doing, and they ought to be doing this. And how many of you know, with your kids in school, how many of you know that when your kid exceeds the milestone, you're like, in your mind, you're thinking, that's my boy. Passing all the milestones ahead of everyone else. This is God's gift to humanity. And when your child meets the milestones, you're like, oh, thank God. They're normal. But when they're behind, I am the worst parent ever. Anybody else? Like, what am I doing so wrong that my kid cannot keep up? Right now, that you got to count to 100. You got to know your colors. You got to be able to spell your name. You got to know the days of the week, months of the year. That's basically what they have to learn. And I'm like, it's Monday, Tuesday, say it with me, Wednesday, Thursday. You know what I'm talking about? Like, what in the world? So you deal with this frustration, and how many of you know as parents, you're like, if my child lags behind, then dear God, they're going to struggle for the rest of their life. It's going to be tough on them, and you know that, the difficulties with balancing all that. And so we've been in that world, and we lived in that world, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, you know, I thought about that. I thought, though by this time, it's an interesting phrase. And I wondered, do they have that same kind of milestone chart for adults? Like, by this time, your 21-year-old should be, and then fill in the blank. Or by this time, your 35-year-old should be, dot, 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 dot. Well, I want you to know I scoured the internet looking for that list, and it doesn't exist, at least not in some substantial or worthwhile form. There's some lists out there, but nothing that really kind of brought it all together in a way I thought would be beneficial for you to hear today. But I began to think, why is that list not out there? Maybe I should write a book about the reasons in the list, milestones that we ought to read. But the truth of the matter is, the more I thought about adult milestones, the more I begin to realize, well, we don't really need that. Do you know why? Because at some point it becomes common sense. Like, you just know what childish looks like as an adult. At some point you begin to realize, okay, that's not appropriate. Let me just give you a couple that I think are common sense, all right? It's going to be uncomfortable. Let me just give you a couple. For instance, though by this time, you shouldn't be drinking and driving. Like, that's not even hard to explain. Not even hard to comprehend. Though by this time, you take a drink, you no drivey. Okay? No drive. That's not that difficult. But how many people struggle with that? You're like, come on, man. You're putting my family at risk because you want to go do it. It's childish. Let me give you another one. Though by this time, you should not be throwing things across the room when you're mad. Like, that's pretty simple, pretty much common sense. Like, when you get mad, no picking up something and throw it. No, can't do it. Like, that's not hard to grasp, church. And yet, how many people struggle with the way they lash out in their anger? Let me give you another one, probably more uncomfortable. Though by this time, you should know worrying doesn't accomplish anything. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I was having fun with you when you were talking about the old drunk driver and the guy who throws stuff across the room. But you just start talking about my personal world and you start talking about worry, and that's a whole different conversation. Really? Scripture cannot be more clear on this. What can you add to your life? How much time can it add, or value can it add to worry? And yet here we are, though by this time we struggle. So, of course, we could go on and on with this, and it's somewhat fun to do this, but the reality is we all have these areas and we're lagging behind in, though by this time. So here's my prayer this morning. I want to get very practical from this point forward, really practical about the things I've observed in my life, the things I've observed in couples who I've counseled with, areas where we lag behind in growth. See, my prayer is that we would become 2 Timothy 2:15 kind of people, that we're ready to do what it takes to handle the challenges in front of us. That we're not Hebrews chapter 5 verse people, but we are verse 12 people, that we are 2 Timothy kind of people. So, for this morning, I just want to give you two areas of growth, and you can write these things down as well. And again, it's going to be very uncomfortable, and I'm okay with that. And by the way, probably a few of you are going to be mad at me before this is all said and done, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And here's why. Because if you're upset with me, but God speaks to you through this, and there's change in your marriage, it's worth it. So let's talk about the two areas that I found. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to leave out, because I've already covered some of this ground before. I'm going to leave out spiritual growth, because I covered that a couple of weeks ago when I talked about the closet. So if you missed that message, go back and listen to the week about decluttering our life. So I'm going to leave that out this morning, although that's a critical part of growth. I'm also going to leave out physical growth, because it doesn't apply to what we're talking about here inside the relationship, and I've already covered that in some detail again in a previous message. So those are other areas of growth, but today I want to focus just on two of them that I've seen that are primarily the cause for dysfunction in relationships. Number one, if you're writing things down, is intellectual growth. Intellectual growth. I have found that we live in a society, in a nation that is being dumbed down because of the way we're structured as a society. It's incredible to me to watch the dumbing down of a nation. Let me just give you one of those case in points, and you're going to think that I'm upset at this specific avenue, but I'm not, and I'll explain that in a minute. But let me just say this to you this morning. Church, it is not impressive to me that you know every player that has ever played on your favorite sports team. Not impressive to me that you know that information. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with athletics in and of itself. I love a good football game as much as anyone else on the planet. My kids are going to be involved in athletics with rhythm and balance attached to that, by the way. But it's amazing to see how people fill their minds, consumed with this kind of stuff. It's not impressive to me that you know every episode of Friends or Grey's Anatomy or Breaking Bad or Modern Family. Like, church, that stuff will help you on Trivia Crack. You can see who has downloaded the Trivia Crack app in here. Like, the four of you got that. Thank you. I downloaded Trivia Crack. It's like crack. It's incredible. It's addicting for sure. But don't do crack. That's not okay, all right? Thank you. It's incredible to watch this society give ourselves over to useless information at the expense of things that can really enrich our families and our lives. And I'm not saying, again, athletics is bad. I'm not saying sitcoms are bad. It's a good conversation over Thanksgiving or Christmas, isn't it, to talk a little bit about football, right? I mean, come on. Every Thanksgiving, you're going to watch the Dallas Cowboys play somebody. And it's just going to happen. That's just a national pastime, almost as important as Thanksgiving, right? I mean, it's right there together. And who doesn't like the Dallas Cowboys, right? I mean, who doesn't like the Dallas Cowboys? Okay, well, some people don't like the Dallas Cowboys, but Tony Romo, come on, the dude's a good quarterback. And I would just say to you that it was a catch, all right? It was a catch. All right, so you know what just happened? Those of you who weren't following me before, you just engaged with me. You're like, now we're on to some good conversation this morning, right? Interesting how it draws us in. So let me ask you some questions. When's the last time you read a book on how to enrich your marriage relationship? When's the last time you watched a video or came across a podcast or a conversation that helped you better understand the nature of the world around you, like the political climate or the religious climate, or for instance, things about why we're here in the first place, purpose? When's the last time you sit down and took some time to say, you know what, does it make sense that God exists? Is that a reasonable, rational, logical thought? I don't know if you know this or not, but in America today, we're living in a very, very tense environment where worldviews are colliding. I would say that there's some economic philosophies that are colliding right now in our nation. Capitalism, socialism, and I might even argue communism is being discussed in our nation today. Are you ready for that conversation? Have you spent any time having spent researching any of this stuff so that you can engage in that kind of conversation? Do you know who you would even want to vote for in those climates? When's the last time you picked up the Bible and increased your understanding of the nature and work of God in your life and in the world? When's the last time you spent any time studying church history? I was talking to a friend of mine, Moshe Rothschild, who's a rabbi. He's a Jewish rabbi, not a Christian. He's a Jewish rabbi. He gives tours in Israel to Christians who want to go learn about, you know, where Jesus walked and where the disciples ministered. And it's incredible. He said to me, you know, it was remarkable when I began to get to know Christians how little they knew about their heritage. What a statement. And I would say to you that if we don't know where we've come from, how in the world do we know if we're doing it right or even where we're going? How does this affect your marriage relationship? Here's how. When you commit yourself to understanding the important things of life, when you commit yourself to getting a knowledge base that allows you to be informed about the things that are really important in life, you become someone who is influential, someone who is knowledgeable, who can deal with the crisis of the moment because you've prepared yourself for it. And how many of you know that inevitably every marriage has a crisis at some point? And if you don't have the knowledge to deal with it, you'll be left behind and there'll be brokenness because of it. Be informed. Go on a journey of intellect, of knowledge, and go on a journey to learn and grow in this area, and you'll be better for it, and your relationships will be better for it in your home. Okay, number two. That was the easy one, by the way. This is the hard one. Second area of growth that I see causes so much dysfunction in marriage relationships. Number two is emotional. So emotionally growing. There are some very emotionally unhealthy people in this world. And there are some very emotionally unhealthy people quite possibly in this room right now. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to what you've gone through to be in an environment where there's emotional instability in your life. Some of you have gone through terrible things. You have gone through traumatic events in your life. Maybe it's abuse. Maybe it's the loss of someone you love. Maybe you've gone through a divorce previously or a failed relationship. And maybe because of that, there's some significant. Maybe you lost your job or there's some financial. And maybe there's some emotional turmoil because of that. I'm not trying to be insensitive to what you've gone through. Please know that. Life is tough. And in life's most difficult moments, our emotional stability is challenged at its greatest. But if you're emotionally unhealthy today, hear me, you can be healed. God, through a process of time and through the right people and the right information in your hand, can take you on a journey of healing. And I'm suggesting to you today that staying in a place of emotional instability is a decision. You can move forward. I'm not suggesting it'll be easy, but with God's help, you can be healed in those environments. Hear me, though. If you are emotionally unstable right now and unhealthy, you are causing great brokenness and dysfunction in your marriage relationship. Emotional health is critical to relational health. And I would say to you today that there's some marriages in this room right now where one or both are emotionally unhealthy, and because of that, there is constant conflict in the home. Let me suggest to you some ways that I've seen this play itself out in some marriage relationships. Church, I've seen a wife, I've seen a husband, and they are manipulative and they are deceitful so that they can get their way. So they'll choose to do whatever it takes, to say whatever it takes, to cause their husband to do whatever they want them to do. And they'll use whatever word or whatever carrot to dangle out in front. Hear me. If you are a manipulator or a deceiver so that you can hide things or get your way, it is dysfunctional and it is robbing your marriage of health. And husbands, some of you are just like that as well. You are hiding things. You are deceitful to your spouse. You know how to manipulate her so that you can get her to do what you need to do. And it is dysfunctional and broken. There's no place in the marriage relationship. There's some people in the room today. There's some of us from time to time. And maybe it's a pattern of your life. Here's the deal. You cannot handle a tough conversation in your home. When conflict comes, you either fall apart, melt down, and start blaming and accusing, or some of you fly off the handle the moment conflict starts. You become so enraged that you start cussing and you start screaming in your house and you start throwing things. That's the nature of the conflict in your home. That is emotionally unhealthy. It's unstable. It's dysfunctional. It's robbing your marriage relationship. There are some people in the room right now, you live in a home and environment that you have to walk on your tiptoes verbally in what you say because you're not sure what the next statement you make that might cause your spouse to fly off the handle. There's some environments in the room right now, you, the emotionally unstable one, you create an environment in your home where your family is scared to mention anything difficult or anything that needs to change because of fear of how you're going to respond. It's broken, church. It's dysfunctional. And it's robbing your family of the health that your family needs and your marriage needs. And if any of these describe you this morning, please hear me. Something has to change. You have to grow up. In a home that's stable, tough conversations are a part of life. You talk through the difficult things and you show each other respect and you honor one another even in the midst of the difficult conversation. So let me encourage you today to consider how you might think through the idea of getting the help you need to change. As I said earlier, there are avenues by which you can become healthy. And I'm suggesting to you today, one of the greatest blessings you can give to your spouse is by going through the process of swallowing your pride and getting on your face before God and saying, God, I'm dysfunctional here. I'm broken here. Because by the way, your pastor has done that. I've gotten on my face before God and I've said, God, this is an area of brokenness in my life. And the only answer I know is to give this to you so you can take me on a journey towards healing. And you know what? When you submit yourself to God in that way, God opens up opportunities and avenues by which healing can come. It's time to get past that dysfunction in your home. I want to end with this morning. It's a verse in 2 Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends while Jesus was here on earth. And towards the end of the second letter called 2 Peter, there's a verse, verse 18, so good. Here's what Peter says. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You know what Peter just said? Grow in grace. It is how you interact with each other. That is the emotional part of the relationship, the spiritual and emotional part. It's how I choose to respond to you and how I allow you to choose to respond to me. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge. That's the intellectual understanding of how things should be. And if you'll grow in grace and grow in knowledge, Peter goes on to say, so that the Lord would be glorified, to him be all glory and honor forever. Now, I would say to you today that that's exactly what God longs for your relationship. So, what do you do with this? I'm going to invite you to come make a change. I'm going to invite you to take a step this morning and be willing to change as God leads you. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solacechurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solacechurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.